Hi and welcome to this Formula One podcast. I'm Oscar and I'm joined by my co-host as usual.
Hello, I'm Daniel. And we're here today to talk about the upcoming Italian Grand Prix. But let's start talking about last week's race in Belgium. And where else to start but the guy who led every single lap of the entire race, Lewis Hamilton. Who else? Qualified first, started first, and Bottas, who finished second, you can also already mention that, he said that he was kind of thinking it was good to start second because he would have a good run into turn five after the very long straight, but didn't matter. He couldn't take Hamilton on the first lap, and even after a safety car and a restart, still didn't manage to take Hamilton down either. So
the Hamilton was ridiculously dominating.
Again. But he's just that good, you know. It's just, who's gonna stop him? It feels like the only one who can stop him is himself.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's not the one who defeats himself very often, if at all. So he's not prone to getting over cocky. He's not prone to falling asleep behind the wheel and doing some stupid mistake.
He can even win with three wheels.
Yeah. it's insane. But that is, like, he's a class of his own. It's kind of impressive to see him just go on, because, there's nothing that can stop him.
Yeah, and then we have the usual suspect, Bottas, after him.
Yeah. He tried, but it was class difference in qualifying. Him being after being like 10th, 2/10 max after Hamilton through practice and early qualifying in Q3, he was a full 5/10 behind. Hamilton beat the lap record twice on his way to winning qualifying. And it's just... all of a sudden, there was a gap you haven't seen for the entire weekend. And yeah, just different. Just class different. And although, yeah, Bottas came second. Verstappen, also a usual suspect, came third. So that means Bottas is closing in by 3 points on Verstappen. He is now 3 points behind him in the driver's standings.
That fight is pretty exciting.
Yeah, that is... yeah. Way more exciting than... well, there's one fight that's more interesting, but I would say that's the second most interesting fight in the in this year. Who's going to get second, Verstappen or Bottas? And yeah, unlike last race where Verstappen managed to get past Bottas and stay ahead of him, this time he didn't manage to get ahead of him. And
I think that's the way the rest of the year will look like.
You mean Bottas versus Verstappen?
Yeah, that will, like, they will change back and forward, who comes second. Because don't have any, what do you say, competition behind them that is consistent, like, is there all the time.
No. I agree. Even though they're definitely closer than they've been previous years.
Yeah, they're exchanging that place between
car and driver.
Yeah, they're exchanging that between the teams. Some of the teams are like moving around that position, but no one is there all the time.
Indeed. So it's top three and the rest, it's top one, then second and third, and then the rest.
Yeah, and this time it was Renault who was right after Verstappen.
Yeah, which is impressive. In second free practice, Ricciardo had a second fastest time. In third free practice, it was Ocon who had the second fastest time. In qualifying, Daniel Ricciardo a fourth, Esteban Ocon sixth. Already really good. Ended Ricciardo fourth and Ocon fifth after overtaking Albon on the last lap. Just what a race by Renault.
Oh yeah, they're like I was so pleasantly surprised there. Like they were really showing that they're in this.
Yeah. And yeah. I kinda doubted them at the start of the season. Like I thought it was gonna be one of their normal season. They say they're gonna do well, but they never really get pushed on, you know?
Yeah.
But at least this time they really showed what they can
and
do.
And that fight, like the third to sixth fight in the constructors, we should say now, it's getting interesting.
Yeah.
Because of this, like this is really big for Renault. Like they're catching up to that fight, and I have no idea how that's gonna end in the long run.
Yeah.
With McLaren racing point for Renault.
Yeah, and all within 9 points of each other currently.
Yeah, that's really tough.
Yeah. And actually, let's talk about more about them, because let's start with the third place team, McLaren. They had just one racer that started this race. Lando Norris started in 10th, managed to get 7th in the end. Wished he would have one more lap, and then he might have been able to also overtake Alexander Albon, which finished 6th. Because, Albon was on the wrong tires at the end, but still an amazing race by Albon, I think. But Norris in 7th. Carlos Sainz on the warm-up lap, on the lap to the grid, not even formation, but before that, his exhaust stopped working or whatever. I don't know exactly what happened, but exhaust issues. They pulled into the pit again, and he never came out because they just had a few minutes to get the car ready, and they didn't think they
another
could be able
team
to do
that would have needed the Verstappen's pit crew.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What he did, when was that again?
A few races ago, they did a miracle. It was insane. Was it 15 seconds in the right direction, time-wise, or something like that?
Yeah, they had 20 minutes to fix it, and it took them...
Over 19 minutes.
Yeah, they had 15 seconds left when they finished. Was it in Hungary? I want to say it was in Hungary.
Yeah, that was just...
I can't remember.
It was just insane.
Yeah, that was impressive.
Yeah, they wouldn't... they need... the teams need more people like that.
Yeah.
Because this is starting to get into something interesting. Like, I have not seen this happen multiple times in a season before like this. That somebody actually breaks down the car before it's even race.
Oh, I haven't even I haven't heard of it since I started watching.
No,
of course that's not many years, but
it might have happened sometime, but not like this.
No, this is the second time this season, and this season is short so far.
So this is kind of the season of exploding tires and cars not even starting. They're demolition. The car breaks before the race even starts.
Yeah,
and that's a really weird season.
Yeah, I said I definitely haven't seen it before.
And I must say that I have never seen the bravery of the teams to take this amount. This has happened a lot of times, to take this kind of big risks with the tires.
Yeah, it's been quite interesting.
Because it's not one race they have done that. It's starting to add up.
Yeah.
And
testing a little bit different tire strategies.
Yeah, and a lot of races finishing on tires that could pop any second.
Yeah. And have a few times.
Yeah, and that's the interesting part. Like, they're really gambling in the end of the races there. And it's not just one, two teams here we're talking about. We're seeing this a lot.
Yeah, but it feels like it was always moving that way, because it always feels like the F1 teams always try to make it with as few pit stops as possible.
Yeah.
Even if that ends up driving on wheels that are about to go off the cliff, they rather not make an extra pit stop.
Yeah.
Just because you can lose not just time, but positions.
Yeah, feel free to correct me if anyone listening here, but in the Schumacher era, when they did more than one pit stop, always more than one. Now some tracks you can actually do a one.
Yeah.
This didn't happen in this way. Like, they were not on the edge. It feels like they're right on that edge now with the ability, with the cars and tires and everything. They're right on that knife edge. Should we take another stop, or should we try to go for it?
Yeah.
Like, they're right on it.
Yeah, and I think that's down to two things. Both the cars are way better at keeping the tires alive, and also the tires are made to last in a way different way. So, sometimes they're too good. The tires are actually too good. You should make them a little bit worse, so they actually need to switch more often.
Yeah. I'm actually not in this sport. I'm not going to mention what motorsport, but we have actually had the drivers talking with the tire company, saying that we don't want tires that will hold forever. Mm-hmm. It is possible to do better tires in that motorsport, but I think it's the same thing in F1. That's what I'm mentioning it, that they don't want tires that will hold forever.
No, because that's no fun.
Yeah, like,
where's the challenge if you don't have to care, or you don't have to worry, how is my tires doing? I need to look after my tires. You know, and...
Yeah, like, doing tires that would, like, oh, everybody just needs to stop once or something.
Yeah.
Like, I even like strategy?
Yeah. And I, even looking at the cars we have now in F1 and the tires, how they look, I was very much up for a rule that is like a 2-stop mandatory on all races, like a rule.
Oh yeah,
that you need now to stop twice. Before it's already a rule. You need to stop once, and you need to switch tires at least once. I would be up for saying no. You need to pit twice every race, just to toss it up a little bit more, just to see some more. See more overtakes, see more gambles, perhaps, because they need to run. Still two different tires, but they need to spit to like pit twice.
Then I'm completely sure this tire management thing that happens in the end of the race won't happen then.
No, then it will be full speed, just trying to get as far up the road as possible before you have to pit again. Which I think would make more, I would say aggressive. No, I don't think it's going to be stupid aggressive, but they're going to push harder because they don't have to worry about as much the tires going off a cliff because they are not allowed to run as far on each tire.
Yeah.
So. But yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think it's up for the new rules that comes in a year and a half now, but yeah.
And now
maybe one day. Or maybe they find some other way to make it more interesting.
Yeah. But now we're off tires. I want to mention someone that we praised last race. The only time we actually praised him.
Yeah, Sebastian Vettel.
Yeah, oh my God. I remember seeing this race and seeing the Alfa Romeo with Kimi Räikkönen passing him.
Yeah.
And it didn't even look that like he didn't even like did a lucky pass.
No, because he stayed ahead.
Like, and Kimi couldn't, or I mean, Vettel couldn't do anything about this.
Yeah. Yeah, this is definitely a race to forget for Ferrari. Starting 13th and 14th, it almost looked for a long time like they wouldn't make it out of Q1 for the first time in the turbo hybrid era. They did in the end, but 13th and 14th. And Leclerc had a really good start, going up five places in the opening lap.
The first lap for him was nice.
Yeah, he had softs on. Many of the drivers around him had mediums. So in Gasly's case, the only driver on hards to start the race. Yeah. And as I said, he made it up to eighth, but that's when the tires started giving out and the guys on mediums started to catch up again. And then it became painfully obvious just how slow that Ferrari is in a straight line.
Yeah, and like, I think that's a crisis thing where, like, the second team in one way, maybe we shouldn't call them that, passes you in that manner.
Yeah. It is not good.
No.
I mean, they're both Italian as well, which is another connection. You can always mention Haas, but they're American, so it's slightly different. But if you want it to be, but Ferrari Alfa Romeo, both Ferrari Power Engines, both Italian owners or Italian cars. Yeah. And yeah, the Alfa Romeo was straight out, just, it was a better car than the Ferrari in last race.
Yeah, imagine,
terrifying to think.
Imagine Russell passing Bottas.
Yeah.
So he was, what the hell is wrong?
Yeah, or even him passing a Racing Point. That's also a Mercedes engine.
Yeah, like, what?
But yeah, that's just unthinkable.
I could see Racing Point passing him on a bad day for Bottas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But they're slightly closer.
Yeah. Imagine both Haas and Alfa Romeo passing the Ferraris.
Well, then it's straight up panic for the Ferrari, I think. Because they all have the same engine, so that literally just means either the Ferrari drivers are having a really, really bad race, or literally both their customer teams have better cars than they have.
Yeah, and I would, in that situation, if I was a Ferrari driver, I don't know if I would continue. Like, I would be damaged psychologically. I would drive into the pits and I just screw this. Just try to try fooling everyone that I had a failure or something, so I don't have to be embarrassed.
Yeah. Just to end the race.
Yeah, just to end, like, to have something.
End your misery.
Yeah, to have something to, like, say later that it was because of that. But yeah, Ferrari right now, and looking at this and everything, they're not that far from Haas passing them, actually. One of the Haas cars passing one of them, actually.
No. Grosjean was less than 2 seconds behind Leclerc over the line.
Oh.
Which is not good.
Look.
And Magnussen was only 11 seconds behind with one more pit stop.
Yeah. Ouch.
Yeah.
And Latifi there.
Yeah. Didn't finish last, thanks to Magnussen taking an extra pit stop.
Thank
Otherwise,
you,
Magnussen would have finished 16th and Latifi would have finished 17th. Yeah. Or at least so did Magnussen think when he was interviewed after the race.
I feel sorry for Russell and even after crashing.
Yeah, we got to mention that.
Yeah.
Because we already mentioned the safety car. Lap 11, Giovinazzi, right ahead of Raikkonen at the point. Raikkonen had finished 12th, right? Right then, I believe it was, they were fighting for 14th, 15th, or something like that, right then. And Giovinazzi coming through turn 13, dipping his tire on the outside the racetrack. Can't think of the word right now. Tries to lose control, tries to regain it, but instead gets a massive snap over his steer, hits the wall back into the circuit. One of his rear wheels detaches and hits Russell's car while Russell was trying to avoid him. So,
Russell couldn't do anything about this.
No, nothing at all.
He was.
And I mean, looking at this live, you didn't see the crash. You just saw all of a sudden two cars kind of messed up with smoke coming off them. Like, I hope everyone's all right.
Yeah.
And the first thing they really show is both Giovinazzi already standing out and Russell standing up. Like, there didn't seem to be any pain. They didn't seem to have any problems. So that's very nice to know. Neither of them passed. I don't think either of them got any kind of injury. So
I remember seeing the first TV pictures I saw was from the front side of this crash.
Yeah.
And that, like, you couldn't see anything from that side. You saw, like, it's cars there.
Yeah.
Then
two cars that look kind of messed up.
Yeah, like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Just hoping that nothing would happen. And it didn't. So that's good.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I think just as Raikkonen had a good race, finishing 12th, gaining four positions, which equals the highest gained with Gasly, and I think we'll touch more about him because we need to talk about him too. I think Giovinazzi could have equally a strong race as Raikkonen. And I think Russell could definitely have challenged the Ferrari. Because, as you already mentioned, he was only 0.2 off Vettel in qualifying. And Russell did have, I'd say, a quite good race up to that point. So, who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah, already mentioned him. Let's talk about Gasly.
Oh, yeah, he.
Because. Yeah, good. Starting 12th. First time actually this season he got out qualified by his teammate. First time that Gasly didn't out qualify Kvyat. It was 0.15 of a second, but you know, he got out qualified. and I said, I already mentioned, started the Haas, the only one in the field. He started really well. Already on the second lap, he did a very daring overtake of Sergio Perez that started 8th. Sergio Perez almost pushing him into the wall in between right before turn 2, which Gasly reacted to over the radio. But massive overtake there. And yeah, at the time of the pit stop, or sorry, the safety car, he found himself in 4th on those hard tires. And yeah, that kind of messed up his race because now everyone got a free pit stop except him. And for some reason, Perez, who stayed out on softs. No idea what they were thinking there, but yeah, that was their choice. And when he finally pitted, he came out last, behind the Haas, behind the Williams. And to then fight all the way back up to 8th, and only 4 seconds behind Norris. Or in Gasly's own word, he thought a P5 would be possible, because he was 7 seconds behind Ocon, which got a free pit stop, pretty much. So... could have been an awesome race, but I think still worthy of mentioning because yeah, really good race by him.
Yeah, he was really good in this race. Like he seems to be enjoying this track.
Yeah, he seems to be enjoying the car.
Yeah.
Ever since he returned to first Toro Rosso and AlphaTauri then this season, he's looked just as good as what he was when Red Bull decided to pick him up too. Their team when Ricardo left. And yeah, right now I would say what he's showing right now this season, that just if he was sitting now in the Red Bull and it was like the AlphaTauri but still improved the way Red Bull is still faster than AlphaTauri, he could be fighting Verstappen. It feels like he's that quick this season.
Yeah, like he's really showing that an AlphaTauri is still a good car.
Yeah. Even though they are far beneath the four in the main midfield, as we already mentioned, McLaren Racing Point, Ferrari, Renault. They are 39 points behind Renault. But they are way faster than Alfa Romeo that is closest to them behind, so... they're in a little bit of limbo, I guess, but yeah. I'm been really impressed by Gasly.
Yeah, same here.
All right, let's move on to talk about the upcoming race in Italy for the Italian Grand Prix. Now, this week, we're going to be driving on the Autodromo Nazionale di Monza, located in Lombardia in northern Italy. Now, the first race here was held in 1950, and the track is 5.7 kilometers or 3.6 miles long. It has 11 corners. The track will be driven for 53 laps and will total 306.72 kilometers over the entire race weekend, or the race. Track has two DRS sections, one down the start-finish straight with a detection zone for that ahead of the last turn 11. The other one is in between turn 7 and 8. And the text zone for that is right before turn 7. Now, just like anything, main overtaking is mainly at the end of the DRS straights. Absolutely to turn 1. That's a very common way to see overtakes. But on that, this is, I think, the fastest track during the season. So we can look forward to seeing some high speeds from all cars. So, yeah, if you like speed, this is where you're definitely where you want to look.
Yeah, I would say this or the second version of the what was the country now again in the end that we'll have two races.
Bahrain.
Yeah, Bahrain. The second version could be fast also.
Yeah, yeah. We have never driven on that, and actually, yeah, that's one of the races we'll be driving on. We know now.
Yeah.
I don't. Did we know that last week?
Yes, we actually talked about that last week.
Yeah, we did know there were two Bahrain races. But
no, we didn't say that. Yeah, they will drive the so-called outer configuration in the second race in Bahrain.
Yeah.
And that is pretty much straight.
Yeah, it's said that one lap should take around 55 seconds in quali trim.
And that's crazy.
Which means if all cars were 3 seconds in between them, like they usually do, there's not enough space on the lap. So, but yeah, that's a later race.
That's going to be interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, let's actually move back to the Monza predictions.
Oh, yeah.
And as usual, why don't you lead us off?
The broken record strikes again, is my first thing to say here. Okay, no one expects another top three than Hamilton first. Will we see Bottas or Verstappen second? I'm saying Verstappen third.
Yeah, I agree.
And yeah, anyone that says against those, at least in the top three, in any order, I'm starting to call them crazy. If the cars don't break down. And if they do, remember, Hamilton can still drive on three wheels.
Yeah, that's a superpower right there.
Exactly, like, that's his big, like, they can't stop him. So yeah, like, top three is pretty settled in my opinion.
I say Hamilton, Bottas, Verstappen.
Yeah, I don't think, like, will we see Renault in that? I don't know. This is the tricky part of the prediction.
Yes.
Plays like 4 to almost 10, 9, 10 or something like that.
Yeah, to 9, I would say. 4 to 9 plus Gasly.
Yeah, that's tricky.
Yeah. I'm going to say Gasly to be 10th. There's Albon too. No, there is the 10th with Albon and the three teams behind them.
I'm saying no points for Ferrari this time either.
Yeah, I would have called you crazy if you said that. After seeing what they did at Spa, that was quite a fast track, one of the fastest. This is probably, I said, the fastest until we go to Bahrain. Or maybe it's Bahrain isn't as fast as we think. It's just it's very short. I don't know. But yeah, time will tell with that. So the question then becomes, will Ferrari be best Ferrari powered car?
Nope.
That was quick.
Yeah. They will be passed by the Alfa Romeo once again at home.
Yeah, one or two cars. Both Raikkonen and
Giovinazzi. Oh my God. Imagine Giovinazzi passing them.
I could see that happening.
Yeah, but imagine the face of Vettel.
Yeah, it's not good.
He will if that happens, I'm betting on that he will say it's the team's fault.
Well, I mean, I don't sure he would have been wrong either if he did say that, so.
Yeah, but still, like, he will say that.
Yeah.
That would be like a nail in the coffin for them.
Well, if it isn't already hammered in, then yes.
Yeah, they were like Alfa Romeo. You will see funny pictures like cartoons of Giovinazzi and where do we have him, Raikkonen, putting nails in the coffin for Ferrari. Actually, I believe I don't know if one or two, but Raikkonen will be in front of them, I think.
I'm going to say both.
Ooh.
If they finish.
Yeah. And then we move over to the question, will Haas pass them?
No.
Williams?
Latifi, no. Russell will be fighting them.
Yeah.
And then I can't say more. I'm going to just say that Russell's going to be fighting with the Ferrari.
And if Russell is right in front of Vettel, he will have nightmares about that because he has seen how that goes before. Like that.
Well, you get to see Williams and Ferrari fighting again, you know?
Oh my God, you're mad. In Italy also, like,
yeah,
they should be happy that if that happens, that the crowd is not there.
Well, oh yeah, there may not be at Monza either.
Yeah.
What did they say? Oh yeah, it was in Sochi, right? The first people to be allowed back.
I'm not saying. Let me be a little bit like, what do you say, diplomatic here. I wouldn't be surprised if the first race where they allow crowds and one of the few will be in Russia.
Mm.
And you can interpret that however you want, but I would not be surprised.
Yeah, well, I think Russia is going to be open for a limited amount of people. I believe Portimao, Portugal, is going to be open for a limited amount of people.
Yeah.
I believe Turkey is going to be open. And then I'm guessing Bahrain and Abu Dhabi.
I think we will see, what do you call it? Red thread in who allows audience.
What do you mean?
Like a certain, do we say? Type of maybe like not so, what do we call it? Not so cautious countries going for audience.
Ah.
Because I noticed that, I'm not saying that of course again, but I noticed that in USA that it's a certain type of states that allow audience on the races.
Right.
They are more like...
relaxed.
Yeah, they're more like, yeah, they have allowed it more on certain states than in other type of states. And that's a really interesting thing, actually. And I think Russia will allow it, Turkey will allow it, both races in both countries in the end will allow it.
Yeah.
I think that it will go down like that, because I doubt Italy will ever allow it, because they have had some really big chaos there.
Yeah, it might be at the final race, the third in Italy, at Imola. Yeah,
maybe
Imola, but I don't think... Oh yeah, actually, we know about Monza, there's not going to be people. At the next race around Mugello, I don't know how you pronounce that. Apparently, there's going to be a little bit more Ferrari people there, because it's actually going to be Ferrari's 1,000th race in F1.
Imagine them being passed
and
by other Ferrari teams on their celebration.
On their own backyard. It's literally,
and
this track is Ferrari's personal testing track.
Yeah, and imagine that happening like in just that race, the celebration race.
Okay, so it doesn't happen here in at Monza, but it will happen at Mugello.
Yeah,
yeah, that would be even worse. Or both, just because why not?
And you just see the like the team boss like crying in a corner.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know like what they need to do to like come back, but something really needs to change in a totally different direction than it's going now.
Yeah. Because they have a bad power. They know that.
Yeah.
So what they need to focus on is getting the arrow to work, the downforce, the drag, whatever it is that's causing them to be so slow, slower than the Alfa Romeo. They need to fix it. Yeah. And yes, we know that they try to reduce a load of downforce to try to get faster on this track, and it completely backfired on them, and that's why Alfa Romeo was faster than them. But even in base spec, do they still have a good enough car at the moment at a track like Monza? I don't know.
And like, to be really, like, I'm going back to a program point we had last season. Maybe we had it once this season. My crazy predictions comes out here now.
Oh, yeah.
That's for the fun of it. Okay. It will be the same way with tires. Crazy stuff will happen. No tires will pop. And no one will like fail before the race and can't start. That combination is deadly this season. And I have noticed one thing that is a little bit strange also. Now when Hamilton is closer than ever on tire failure, he hasn't complained as much.
Yeah, but maybe that's because he's concentrating way more on keeping his tires alive. He don't have time to talk over the radio.
Yeah. He was driving on three wheels and didn't complain.
Yeah. And in last race in Belgium, he said straight out after the race in interviews, he was afraid of a new Silverstone. He actually slowed down the last few laps to try to make sure the tires didn't break on him. And they didn't, or on Bottas for that matter. But he was scared that it was going to happen the same thing that it did around Silverstone.
I can understand him like that. It's rough.
Yeah. So maybe it is. Literally, now that he actually has to worry about the tires, he has too much work to do with them. He doesn't have time to complain about them.
Yeah, because he could complain.
Because they're actually bad now.
Yeah, he's if we say that, when he has nothing to do, he overthinks, I think.
Yes.
Instead of Verstappen style, he's joking with the team.
Well, I think also Verstappen is a very thinking character, but yeah. At the same time, yeah, he has more of that Joker streak in him.
I've been thinking a little bit lately. He has been like going at the team for just focusing on Hamilton.
Yeah, he did, and yeah, in the
yeah, and I've been thinking
what was
about
that.
When it comes to situations like this, I actually agree with Verstappen. Let's go for their own race.
It's him and the Mercedes, but still, it's Hamilton we're talking about. Probably the best driver that F1 has ever seen.
I
would say top two, him and Schumacher.
I would actually say that he is better when they focus on him.
Yes.
Than like all the time, all only looking on what Hamilton does. I think this will be good for him if they start thinking about him more.
Yeah, just making sure his races go to plan. So if anything happens, he's there to take advantage of it.
Yeah. Sadly, I'm saying Mercedes 1-2, like I said, just on power here.
Yeah. I mean, it was fun. Like they were talking about that after the race too, after the race in Belgium. Mercedes were nowhere near the fastest times in the first or third sector, or in the top, the speed counter they have around the track. They were nowhere near top of that. It's like, whoa, what is happening? Is Mercedes no longer quick? No, they literally made a completely different setup. They went for speed in the second sector instead of speed on the big straights. And yeah, they decided that. In Monza, they literally can just focus on getting that low downforce, just pure speed.
Yeah.
And I don't think any team is close. Not even Racing Point is close to any kind of speed that Mercedes has they want to put it
out. I doubt Racing Point will do the same tuning mistake here.
Yeah, I think they're now going to go for the low downforce, because I said I think they might have gone to too high downforce for this race.
Yeah.
So, and that's a question, because we at least I never really touched on it. The six drivers fighting behind the top three, or the seven drivers, Albon, both the McLaren drivers, both the Racing Point, both the Red Bull, both the Renault. Sorry. So who do we think will come fourth?
Oh yeah, that's hard. I'm actually going with one of the Racing Point drivers here. One of them, just any of them.
Yeah, for me it's still between, I'd say, Perez and Ricardo. And I'm going to say go Perez.
Yeah, I don't think Ricardo is even enough.
Oh no, I think he's a really, really good driver.
He's
really
good driver, but I don't think
the Racing Point is just too fast.
Yeah, and like I don't doubt Ricardo's abilities. I'm just doubting his evenness, if that's a word, like being even and consistently being good. I'm just doubting that. On his best days, oh my god, that guy is good.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows? There might be something to it. I haven't actually thought of it. Like, does he have a problem with being uneven? But normally I would say no, but to be fair, I've never actually looked at the stats on how is he actually performing.
Yeah, because Renault is going
interesting
like
idea.
Up and down, up.
Yeah. Well, I more blame the car for that. Yeah. But yeah, it might be something to it.
And also, if we check the constructors here, Alfa Tauri is like doing their own race in the constructors.
Yeah.
They're really in no man's land.
18 points ahead of Alfa Romeo, 39 points behind Renault. Yeah, I think they're going to finish 7th. I think it's pretty much already it's already done. Yeah. I think the four teams, or maybe the one team I can see them climbing past is Ferrari.
Oh. Yeah.
But they are 41 points. Ferrari has three times the points AlphaTauri has at the moment.
Yeah.
So is that plausible to happen? Perhaps not. But I think of any of that midfield teams now, McLaren, Racing Point, Ferrari, Renault, I think if any team is going to be caught by AlphaTauri, it's Ferrari.
Yeah, I'm positioning, if I do the constructors now, I would position Ferrari at sixth place.
Yeah, definitely not the third that we thought.
Like McLaren Racing Points with Renault are way too good for them.
Yeah, and not just on any specific circuit either. They are all quick everywhere.
Yeah, and
absolutely
I would say, like, sorry Vettel, but if Ferrari is going to even stay in the middle of the fight, it's on Leclerc. It's in his shoulders.
Definitely this season has been.
Yeah, like
45 points in fifth place, which is amazing when you think about what the Ferrari's been doing.
Like, this is on his shoulders this far.
16 points.
Yeah, this is really on his shoulders.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope Vettel can get a run in, though, at the end of the like, gather some more points, because it's still unsure. If he's staying in the sport after this year, and yeah, it's sad to see if this is the final season for Vettel. It's sad that he has to go in such a way with this car that's massively underperforming.
Yeah, I've seen old clips of Vettel's driving abilities.
Yeah,
that guy had some skills.
Yes, there's no doubt about it.
Even
like,
if he was
before Hamilton happened, Vettel was the next big thing with four straight constructors.
Yeah.
Drivers.
I would say he was kind of an arrogant prick. Nobody could say anything about that. Mm-hmm. Like, most people would agree with me. I might even get him agreeing with me there, that he was like that. But like, he has gotten better. In that department.
He has matured a little bit. Yeah. Or quite a bit, not just a little
because
bit.
Because everything was everyone else's fault back then. Mm-hmm. Like, if he single-handedly crashed, it was someone else's fault.
Like, sounds like a young Max Verstappen.
Yeah, like, that's not good. But still, like, he was a really good driver back then. Like, this is just sad if the like story about him ends like this.
But we haven't reached the half point this season yet. Like, there's many races more for him to start getting some points and at least making it look better. And maybe feel a bit better for him too. But yeah.
Yeah, like
right now, it doesn't look great. Definitely.
Yeah. The last season getting passed by Alfa Romeo.
Yeah, his old teammate Raikkonen.
Ouch. I doubt that they will, or maybe they will catch him in point. If Vettel is really bad the rest of the season.
Do you mean Alfa Romeo will reach Ferrari?
No, I mean one of the Alfa Romeo drivers with a little bit of luck. Could get closer.
Closer, yeah, but I don't think they're gonna reach him. Alfa Romeo are just not good enough.
Yeah.
Ferrari at its best days can fight inside the points. I don't think Alfa Romeo has the potential. Not currently at least. To do that. Even though I'm saying the Ferrari is so bad. You know, Leclerc still has 2 third places this season, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and like that's telling a lot about Leclerc's driving abilities.
Yeah,
getting points like that good of races with that car.
Yeah,
wow,
it's amazing.
Yeah,
it just shows what a driver he is.
And I can't wait for the what I will call Russell Leclerc era.
Not Verstappen.
He might be still around then, but like,
well, Verstappen is equally as old as Leclerc.
Yeah, those three like battling this out. If best case scenario, those three will battle this out. They won't get into a situation where one of them are halted. But those battles could get really damn interesting.
Yeah, I would say looking at the young drivers right now, they are the three most promising.
Yeah,
we got Norris, which is worthy of mentioning. We have Ocon, we have Albon, but I said these three: Verstappen, Leclerc, and Russell.
And a good thing here is that they are actually not in team-wise connected in any way. That not right now, where it looks like they will end up in the same team.
Indeed,
that's the good part.
Yeah. But hopefully we'll find those three in leading cars once the new thing comes in. And yeah, of course, Verstappen Leclerc has a head start on Russell. But I still think that, yeah, that's going to be a fight.
Oh, yeah, Verstappen.
Unless someone else comes from F2 of the years to come. I mean, we have Robert Schwartzman right now driving in F2, looking really good. We got Mick Schumacher looking really good, but are they at the level of these three? It's hard to say, but yeah. Right now, definitely those three are the names to look out for the future, it feels like.
Yeah, they will have an era, I think. And I don't know if any one of them will dominate. It depends on the car there.
Yeah. I think all three in their driving style has a possibility to dominate.
Yeah.
But it all depends on the car.
Give all of them a really strong car that suits the driving style and we will have some battles.
Yes. Oh, I just can't wait to see that.
That would be amazing. That's... Wow. Yeah. But sadly, that doesn't happen as often anymore.
No, that's what I'm really looking forward to.
Same here.
Season after next one.
Yeah, same here. But yeah, do you have anything more to add in the like prediction part?
No, I'm feeling happy.
Yeah, same here. So let's run this off then. So this race, like you said, will be in Italy, and the race after that will be
Italy. Mugello or Mugello. I think it's Mugello. I'm going to say Mugello from now on. It sounds better.
Yeah, it's true. So yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah. A really interesting race. And for God's sakes, Ferrari, don't embarrass yourself there.
Yeah, I almost got to hold my thumbs for them not to mess up. At least they can get a good enough race around their home.
I doubt the audience have missed that. I'm not a big Ferrari supporter in any way, but this is the race I want them to succeed in.
Yeah.
They need
it. It's almost like that race, I want to see 18 cars have to leave the race because of engine failures, and Ferrari comes 1 and 2.
The sad
just because it's their home race and it's the
thousand. The sad truth is that that's their only chance for a 1-2.
Yes.
Or maybe that it's only Latifi left.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other driver on the field is probably faster than them, which is very sad to say.
Yeah.
But maybe the Haas driver.
If I would have said that 2 years ago, that Ferrari would be this bad this season, you would think need some serious help.
Yeah, no one would have believed you.
They would come. Imagine betting on this season. I would be rich after this season. But yeah, if we don't have anything to add, I just want to say thank you for listening. And yeah, it has been fun recording this. I hope you had fun listening to it. Yeah, we will be back next week. See you then. Bye.
Bye.